My name is Jonathan Lowy, and I'm the director of Legal Action Project at the Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Brady Center's Legal Action Project represents and assists governments and public officials at every level to defend the common sense laws Americans want and need to keep guns out of dangerous hands. We urge the Supreme Court in McDonald v. City of Chicago to expand on its statements in District of Columbia v. Heller that the Second Amendment does not preclude reasonable gun laws. The court should announce deferential standard of review for courts to apply in Second Amendment cases that will ensure that reasonable gun laws will remain intact. Gun policy should continue to be determined, as it always has in our history, through the political process by democratic will rather than by judicial fiat. While the court in Heller did not announce a standard of review, the decision is inconsistent with a rigorous, strict scrutiny standard. To begin, the right recognized in Heller was narrow. While the court could have stated that the Second Amendment protects a broad right to possess and carry guns, the court declined to do so. Instead, Justice Scalia's majority opinion held only that responsible, law-abiding citizens have a right to a gun in the home for self-defense. At the same time, the Heller court went out of its way to make clear that the Second Amendment was no impediment to common-sense gun law. Justice Scalia stated that the right was not unlimited, and he listed a number of existing gun laws which, he explained, are, quote, presumptively lawful under the Second Amendment, and he made clear that the, quote, list does not purport to be exhaustive. This language is inconsistent with strict scrutiny, under which courts would not presume those gun laws to be lawful, certainly not without a showing of legislative need and fit. Giving legislatures great deference in regulating firearms possession and use is particularly appropriate, given the unique harms posed by exercising the Second Amendment right recognized in Heller. The exercise of the right to free speech, worship, or any other constitutionally protected activity does not generally create an increased risk of lethal harm. That is, words can't kill you. Guns all too often do. Guns in the home often result in death or serious injury to gun owners, their families, visitors, and others in the community. When including homicides, unintentional shootings, and suicides, guns in America kill more than 30,000 people each year and injure 70,000 more. The exercise of no other right creates such a grave risk of physical harm. Yet when the exercise of those rights does create a risk of far less significant harms, courts have consistently held that they may be reasonably restricted under the state's police power authority to promote public safety. Walter Chaplinsky learned this over 60 years ago when the Supreme Court upheld his conviction for bad-mouthing the city marshal and city council in front of City Hall. The court recognized that while the First Amendment protects a right to free speech, the state can prohibit fighting words that, quote, tend to incite an immediate breach of the peace. The court has consistently upheld restrictions on the time, place, and manner of speaking to further such governmental interests as protecting its citizens from unwelcome noise and avoiding congestion. And deferential review is given to such restrictions, not strict scrutiny. The public has a far greater interest in being protected from lethal gun violence than from noise and congestion. And a gun possessed by Mr. Chaplinsky would have posed far graver risks to others than his fighting words. History confirms that great deference has always been given to legislative judgments regarding gun policy. The right to keep and bear arms has been understood as subject to reasonable regulation dating even before its inclusion in the English Declaration of Rights in 1689. In America, too, courts have consistently deferred to legislative judgments on gun policy. While the Heller Court's interpretation of the Second Amendment was novel, over 40 state constitutions long recognized the private right to bear arms. And in state court decisions for over a century, courts have almost all agreed that a reasonableness test should be applied in gun cases. Under this test, the state may not prohibit all firearms ownership, but it may regulate the exercise of the right to bear arms under its police power authority, quote, so long as the exercise of that power is reasonable. This test recognizes, quote, the state's right, indeed its duty, under its inherent police power, to make reasonable regulations for the purpose of protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the people. It is incumbent on the Supreme Court to announce a similar standard of review to guide lower courts in Second Amendment cases. The standard is needed because the gun lobby has made clear that it will continue to try to use the Second Amendment to force guns into every aspect of society and to attempt to deprive Americans of their rights, protect their families and communities from gun violence. Since the court announced the Heller decision in June 2008, the gun lobby and gun criminals have brought over 200 Second Amendment challenges against firearms laws and prosecutions. These challenges will only grow, especially if the court decides that the Second Amendment applies to the states. Properly applied, the Second Amendment and the Heller decision should provide no obstacle to common sense gun laws. But without an announced standard of review, courts may well apply varying standards, leading to inconsistent results. And worse, there's a risk that some courts could improperly invalidate important public safety measures or allow dangerous persons to have guns. In McDonald, the Supreme Court should reaffirm that the right recognized in Heller need not jeopardize the rights of all Americans to have the reasonable laws they demand and need to protect their families and communities from gun violence.